And with that, the Lions season officially over. Happy New Year. Good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. We're back at full strength. John, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see the gang back together. How is everyone doing?
Good. Good morning.
Happy New Year. I didn't get a chance to say that to you guys, so happy New Year. And it is great to see everyone. It's just unfortunate that we have to start the off season now.
Yeah, not ideal, John.
It's not. There's a lot of things that we're going to get a chance to talk all offseason about. We know where the draft picks are. We know what the schedule is. We don't know when they're going to play, but we do know who they're going to play. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to turn the page quite so quickly. That's fine. But as fast as you could put this one in the rearview mirror, I want to.
Yeah, they're setting the stage, schedule's set for the NFL playoffs, the road to the Super Bowl, and we're not part of it, which stinks.
It does, but at least we still have football.
We do, and we're going to talk a bunch of football from now until the start of next football season. Yes, we know how this goes, but off-season radio will begin frustratingly today. John, we'll just start with yesterday's game. I picked the Lions. I felt like they would show up and play hard until the final whistle. They beat Ben Johnson, but the problem is the Bears are the division champs, and the Bears will be playing in the postseason. But what did you make of the game?
I mean, I thought they played hard. I thought they played well. The entire time I'm watching it, I kept saying to myself, why didn't they do this against Pittsburgh? Yeah. Why didn't they do this against Minnesota? Because we saw what happened to Green Bay. And I go back to, you know, hey, while they're preparing to play Pittsburgh, what did I say? You thought, hey, they're out, they're done. Mm-hmm. You didn't go, you know, do the whole funeral thing, but it was, in essence, they were out.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you were right. But I kept saying, there are some weird things that are going to happen. And at that time, we knew Micah Parsons was out, and it was Jordan Love was hurt. You go right down the list of things that would eventually fall in the Lions' favor, and the Lions just didn't take care of their own business. So they had chances all the way up until the very end, the very end being, you know, a week ago.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't get, you know, I don't know that we got a chance to hear at all about how the Park DeCourcy Christmas went.
Oh, it was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, it was awesome.
Colin watched the game.
Well, actually, he did, because our Christmas kind of got changed because people were sick. Not in my immediate household, but in the family. So we didn't go to my mother-in-law's house at all on Christmas Day. So we didn't have that basically second Christmas again.
Yeah.
So yes, the game was on. He didn't watch it like he probably would have normally, but yes, it was on TV.
See,
so
you
he
never
did.
Know what could happen. Things happen in Colin's favor, and all of a sudden, hey, other people get sick. Obviously, we're not wishing for anybody to get sick, but
no. And opportunity
presented itself.
Yes. At the same time, though, I think the last show we all did together, I floated that diabolical topic of what if the Lions lost to the Steelers? Would it take the starch out of Christmas Day? And it did. They were on life support. The game didn't have the same significance, and then they lose it. Yeah, maybe put you in a foul mood, but you were on to better things at that point. You're with family, and you move on.
Yeah, I think Christmas did allow you to handle that loss better than maybe it would have any other, you know, the other 16 games.
Yeah, I think there was a finality to it, you know, instead of this like doom that had been hanging over their head. They couldn't win back-to-back games. You knew it was done. And then all it set up was your Week 18 showdown with the Bears for S's and G's. Like, John, I had no doubt St. Brown would play if he could, and Goff was going to play his best, and they were going to try to win. To see him jump up to a 16-0 lead. Yeah, I mean, of course, that team had been in there, but that team didn't show up enough this season.
Well, it was somewhat, you know, just a kind of a snapshot of the season, even though they ended up winning it. It was, hey, they're up 16, and then in the fourth quarter, they allow two touchdowns, two two-point conversions, and all of a sudden, it's tied.
And by the way, I didn't like how they handled the clock right around the two-minute warning. Montgomery runs out of bounds, and they're pass.
I know.
Third and long, Goff in triple coverage. Like, I thought they had blown it because it was going to be yet another Bears miraculous comeback win.
I know, and I was sitting there watching it with Lisa, and as Montgomery is running towards the sidelines, I kept shouting, stay in bounds, stay in bounds! And obviously, he runs out of bounds, and, you know, we went through the whole clock management, all of that stuff, and it's just unfortunate. But they ended up winning, so you know what? It just was. It's nice to stick it to Ben Johnson twice.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't soften the blow that the Lions are out of it and they are the division winners.
Yeah, I don't feel like we get to do like a ha-ha Ben Johnson because his team won the division, you know?
His team did win the division.
They're still playing and we're not. So like as much as you'd like to rub it in, our team gets to go take a vacation and they get to play football.
But it's a two-game difference. And the frustration is not necessarily – there's frustrations at every level, right? The frustration with the Bears is they went from worst to first. It was Ben Johnson went from here to Chicago, got Caleb Williams playing better. We knew that Dennis Allen was a good defensive coordinator. He inherited a good defense, all those things. And then you go right down the list with Green Bay and the fact that Green Bay was that team at the end of the year that you could have caught. Yep. And that was frustrating. And then Minnesota, to end with the same record as Minnesota with a rookie quarterback.
Who got hurt
multiple times, couldn't finish the game yesterday.
Correct.
And you lost to them twice. Like, there's frustrations at every single level. And then you also go to, hey, sometimes you're a victim of your own success. This is not an excuse, but it is a reason. It's not the main reason, but two games difference that separates the Bears as winning the division and the Lions as being out of the playoffs. It's... could be just simply be the difference of playing a first place schedule versus a last place schedule.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, like we wanted the smoke off a 15-win season. We wanted our team to be tested and chase the Super Bowl, but it is a harder road that the Lions played versus that of the Bears. And you can see it reflected in games where Chicago gets New Orleans and the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? And instead the Lions are playing a tougher road week in and week out. There's no doubt teams go worst to first in the NFL because they attack the offseason or make a coaching change, but they also get a boost, a little helping hand when they play a last place schedule. I think the Patriots, another great example of a team that benefited from a very soft schedule this season. They split with the Bears or with the Bills, but the difference was they got to beat up on a lot of bottom feeders en route to the best record in their division.
But that's one of the great things about how the NFL is structured and the way that... okay, you have a bad season, you play a last place schedule, but you also get a higher draft pick.
Yep.
Those draft picks, it's not like baseball or hockey where you've got to wait years for them to produce. Now all of a sudden you get an impact player right away.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the beauty of the NFL. That's the excitement of the NFL. It's also the heartbreak of the NFL.
Now, if you're looking for the silver lining, nobody's happy about how this season went. The silver lining is the Lions did finish fourth in the division. They will play a last place schedule next year. And some of the teams Detroit will play, the Jets, Giants, Titans, Cardinals, Dolphins, Saints, Falcons. Mm-hmm. There will be a couple game boost for this team. And if they attack the offseason the right way, they'll be right back in the postseason.
Did I hear that Aaron Glenn got the vote of confidence for year two?
I expected him to come back. I didn't know if I saw that.
I heard that last night. I think that was the quote-unquote sources, and I think it will be actually confirmed today. Yeah. So,
couple texts coming in. The Lions used Monty and Gibbs the way we begged all season.
Yeah.
Bears are frauds. They're the second seed, but at best the sixth best team in the NFC playoffs.
And, well, you know what? They get a chance to prove it or not prove it.
Yeah, but the irony is, okay, let's say they're the sixth best team. Guess who they draw in the first round? The seventh best team.
Right.
The charmed life continues for the Bears. Tech says, why are you guys talking about a meaningless game? We ruined our lower draft pick. Who cares? Could have picked as low as 13. Instead, they'll pick 17.
Well, could have picked as high as.
Sorry. Well,
yeah, 13. Yes. I mean, that's one of those sports things that drives me.
You
nuts.
Knew what I meant. Yes.
No, I know what you meant.
And I think we're going to get into it a little more as the show rolls on. How that game made you feel. If you're someone that felt happy to beat Ben Johnson, if you're someone who was angry that it was too little too late. If you found yourself watching that game weirdly removed or detached because a lot of the meaning had been taken out of the game, maybe you felt hollow. We'll get to how that game had you feeling when they finally wrapped up the season with a victory. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Tom in Richmond. Tom, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, I love your show. I listen to you every morning before work. I'm headed to work now.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say, not so much you guys, but some of, like, Valeni and some of the others, like, they're going on and on about how the Lions need to lose this game because they get a better draft pick, and I understand all that. But also, I coach sports, and I played sports, and I know now that Ben Johnson hasn't beaten us twice, and the Bears haven't led on us since 2023. And that's in their head now, next year. Also, you know, like, our team showed some toughness. They outsmarted Ben Johnson.
Yeah, but I want to be very careful about declaring that now we're tough. Like, the time to be tough was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, yes, a month ago. Like, okay, we're tough.
That.
We're tough.
I understand that.
And I look, I'd also,
Tom,
understand.
I can appreciate your point of, hey, I'm the same with you. I don't care about the draft pick. It's all about winning the game.
Yeah, but okay, we're going to do more on this later in the show. I don't care about your warm, fuzzy feelings for 24 hours. The draft pick's tangible value. You got to feel good for a day. And the day's over, and you're not in the playoffs. So you got to feel warm and fuzzy, but you did hurt your draft position. You didn't really gain anything other than feeling good for a day.
Well, you played a game. The goal of the game is to win. And so, mission accomplished.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls. It's a wrap-up on the Lions season, 97.1. Dan Miller on the call. Lions season over after a win against the Bears. Too little, too late. Tech says, as a diehard Lions fan, I have to put this ugly season behind us. I hope the Lions learn from their mistakes. Memo to Campbell and Holmes. Anything less than the playoffs next year is a failure, and your job should be on the line. Al in the D.
I don't know that I'm not ready to talk about jobs, but I think this year was a failure because you missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that is...
Well, he's right. The next year missing the playoffs would be a failure too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And back-to-back failures, you do start to put heat on people's jobs.
Sure.
Guys, can we retire two narratives? Goff in the cold and Goff wearing a glove. Showed it didn't matter yesterday. It's conveniently brought up at times.
There's a lot of Jared Goff that is conveniently brought up at times.
Look, I'm going to go to bat for him this offseason. They need to fix the pocket in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his numbers, and I mean, he was sacked more than any time in his career.
Yep.
And his numbers were better.
Still finished, I believe, top three in yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, and eight interceptions. Now, the one he threw yesterday was like, what the hell are you doing?
Triple coverage, and middle of the field, terrible.
Yeah, and then the two that he had against, was it Minnesota? Yeah. I'm looking at those going, okay, not a great way to end it, but overall, I thought he had a really good year.
He's the same guy that had him in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
Fix it. Guys, the weaker schedule talk is hogwash. If you beat the Vikings like you're supposed to, you win the division, Roy, in Clarkston.
Agree.
No one's going to use the schedule as an excuse for why the Lions didn't win the division. The schedule is a boost, though. Let's not ignore what a last-place schedule did for the Bears or the Patriots this season or what it could mean for the Lions next year. It could give them a couple-game boost.
Right.
But John, how many games did they miss the division by?
Two.
Or the playoffs by? Yeah. So
they missed the playoffs by one game.
Yeah. So, but my point is, like, this stuff can help bad teams when they face favorable schedules.
I agree, though, with the texter. If you beat Minnesota, as you should have twice, you're tied with the Bears, and because you beat them twice, you win the division.
Yeah. Guys, no matter how you spin it, Ben looked bad versus the Lions in both games. Sure, they're going to the playoffs, and we didn't take care of business, but the Bears were bad in both games against the Lions. Would you rather be 0-2 and in the playoffs or 2-0 and out of the playoffs?
I'm always going to say in the playoffs.
Right.
And I'm always going to say win the game versus the draft pick.
Well, that's why I ask. But you'd rather be in the playoffs than out.
Yes.
So we got to feel good for 15 minutes at the end of that game, and then our season was over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure Ben would have rather won the games and the division, but the division is still most important, and they won it.
I did enjoy all of the close-ups on Ben Johnson as the game was going on, just thinking to myself, yeah, let's stick it to him. You're playing for the win. You're also playing for, you know, other reasons, and one of them is just to stick it to the other team.
Let's get to George in St. Clair Shores. George, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Love you guys. I listen to you every day. My point is, at the end of the day, that game didn't matter. Because when you look at Campbell's record, they're going to ask, how many winning seasons did he have with Detroit? As we have with other coaches. They said, well, how often was their overall record? Yeah, they missed the playoffs, but they finished above 500. Yeah, they missed the playoffs, but it was still ended on a positive.
I agree that, George, ending with a winning record is better than an 8-9 record. But I think a better metric is how many times did you make the playoffs? What did you do when you got in the playoffs? But George, I'm always with you. Like George, yesterday did matter because it was a win.
George, I don't think we're going to look back and say how many winning seasons did Campbell have. We're going to talk about how many division titles, playoff wins, and Super Bowls did he have.
Right. Okay. So let's take Mike Tomlin. All right. We one of the things that they do talk about is he's never had a losing season.
Right. But that started to really fall on deaf ears because they haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
That's my point.
Yeah. So. Look, if you attached meaning to it and that game made you happy, I'm happy for you. Sports are supposed to be fun. If it was fun to beat Ben Johnson, I'm happy for you. It felt hollow to me. And we'll talk more about that coming up at 6:35 because maybe some of you feel angry. I'm not angry that they won the game, but if you're angry that they picked a week to show up when it didn't matter, that game probably has a full range of emotions for Lions fans. Happy, angry, hollow. Whatever you would describe your emotions following that game, we're going to carve out some time for it at 6:35. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, you probably heard over the weekend the United States carried out a surprise military operation in Venezuela that resulted in the capture of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife. U.S. forces then flew them both to New York, where they have since been charged with weapon and drug offenses. President Trump called the mission successful, praising the operation, and announced that the United States would run Venezuela at least temporarily and tap into its vast oil reserves to sell to other nations. Maduro will be in court today. Let's see. A 75-year-old veteran in Wixom is in the hospital after allegedly being punched in the face or the head by a DoorDash driver who he asked to slow down in his neighborhood. So according to the family of Lloyd Poole, he walked out onto his driveway, went to approach the delivery driver who he thought was going too fast. Well, that's when the driver, 40-year-old Ryan Turner, got out of the car, punched Poole in the head and drove away, left him there. Family members say after he was punched, he never got back up. Was punched so hard he was knocked unconscious. Yeah. Oh. He's been hospitalized for days, had to undergo surgery, brain surgery. They say part of his skull had to be removed. And family says he has been unconscious since the punch, like even in the hospital. Now, the driver is facing an aggravated assault charge, says he acted in self-defense.
He got out of the car. 75-year-old?
Yes.
He got out of the car.
So
who made him get out of the car?
He has been obviously removed from DoorDash, is no longer working there. He faces up to a year in prison. Yes. A triple threat is hitting Metro Detroit schools as they prepare to open this week. So cases of the flu, COVID-19 and RSV are surging, obviously, as kids are returning from winter break, going back to school. So cool. That's fun. Look out. Be on the lookout if you've got kids, most likely. They're all going to get sick eventually. Henry Ford Health is seeing an increase in all three illnesses. And according to the CDC, Michigan jumped from high to very high flu activity level in just 1 week. Of course, the timing
holidays
couldn't be worse. Right. You had the holidays. Now everyone's
going back
to school.
But that also explains it, too, because everybody's seeing family and all it takes is...
So what should you do? Make sure you're implementing a strict hygiene routine, washing your hands, making your kids wash their hands, especially when they're coughing, try to get them to cough and sneeze into the elbow and not their fingers and then rub that all over the place. Keep your sick kids home. If they're sick, don't send them to school. Make sure they're getting adequate sleep. Make sure you're getting a proper diet. And there is the flu vaccine as well that can help reduce symptoms. So this is always fun every year. Lake Superior State just shared its annual list of banished words that they think should be stopped in 2026.
I do like this one. I didn't look at this one on purpose because I wanted to hear them.
So I think every parent on earth is excited about the first one. Yes. 6-7. Let's get rid of that. It's overused. That's number one on their list. Number two.
I'm not going to get rid of it in the house, though. I'm not going to do it in public, but it drives my kids nuts when I do it.
The reversal.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Are they doing it still or just dad?
Just dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Demure, which I don't actually hear a whole lot. I know it kind of trended
like a social
on TikTok.
Trend. Yeah.
Yeah. Cooked. Like, I'm cooked. I'm exhausted. Or they say it could mean like if you're really good at something, like,
cooking?
She's an expert. Let her cook. Like, let her do her
let
thing.
Let Brad cook.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Chef Brad, I am okay to get rid of that.
Me too.
Massive.
Massive?
Yeah.
Wow, that's massive.
Incentivize. Full stop.
I'm cool with getting rid of full
yeah,
stop.
Yeah, me too. Perfect.
That's just a normal word.
Agreed. Gifted when used as a verb. My bad and reach out.
Okay.
I don't hear a lot of these.
I don't hear a lot of them either, nor do I use them, so it will have almost no effect on me.
I think it's because I'm not hanging out with really young people, like teenagers.
Yeah, but even my kids don't use those.
It's got to be for people who are chronically online, which I am guilty of, but I don't even see a lot of those anymore.
The only one I hear once in a while is my bad and full stop.
Yeah.
Sure, get rid of him. I don't care. Jelly Roll has lost 275 pounds, and he says he's now living in a dramatically different world, which you can understand. So at his heaviest, he weighed 540 pounds, and now he's down to 265.
Wow.
And to celebrate, he posed for the cover of Men's Health.
Good for
which
him.
Which is actually a goal that he set back in 2024. He told his wife, you know what? I want to be on the cover of Men's Health by March of 2026. So he did it. By a few months, which
oddly
is awesome.
Specific goal, but great that he achieved
yes.
it.
Uh-huh. He says nutrition and exercise helped, but the real change came when he treated food like an addiction, and he kind of addressed why he was eating so much.
Stress eating, yeah.
And figured that out. So he looks awesome when you see him on the cover. I mean, he looks like a different person.
Yeah.
And the shaved face that does it too. So
mm-hmm. It's Heather with the news.
Full stop.
Massive amount of weight.
Guys, that Lions win left you feeling blank. We'll get to it next. Overreact Gyms at 7:02. It's 97.1. Happy New Year, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass as we wrap up the Lions season today. And it's going to be a long off season. Want to know how that game had you feeling? Are you someone who was feeling good? You beat Ben Johnson. You beat the Bears. Winning feels good. Are you someone who feels angry? Why the hell did they show up now and not on Christmas Day or against Pittsburgh or at any consecutive stretch for 2 months? Were you angry? Were you hollow? You just didn't watch that game with the same level of interest and passion. And then winning doesn't do it for you. How would you describe the way you're feeling after that game? 248-539-9797. Full range of emotions, John. Let's get into our feelings in the new year. How are you feeling?
Yeah, let's talk about our feelings. One of my favorite things to do.
You're a wins, yes. a win competitor guy. Are you feeling good?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like when your wife says, we need to talk. Oh, man. What did I do? And what am I going to have to talk about? I'm always happy with a win. Always going to be happy with the win. That is the entire goal. And I don't care if you're 0-16, you go into that last game, you finish with a win. A win is a win. But I'm frustrated and angry all at the same time. And here's why. They played really good when there was no pressure. And like that to me is the most frustrating thing because you do look at how Green Bay finished. And if you just won one of the games between Minnesota and Pittsburgh, both teams very beatable, but there was pressure at that time. And they didn't perform as we thought a Detroit Lions team would perform. Even though they were beat up in the secondary, they were beat up defensively, offensive line-wise, it wasn't the greatest performance all season long. And then you go into a game against Chicago where Penei Sewell's not playing. You got Tate Ratledge, who's a rookie. You got Mahogany, who ended up coming out, but then he was back in, and Graham Glasgow, et cetera. So it wasn't like you all of a sudden had all these reinforcements back in place defensively. You finally made some adjustments because Ben Johnson thought, hey, they're going to be running a bunch of man. I'm going to call these. And he didn't adjust because the Lions were going more zone and they were doing different things, trying to say, hey, let's let the front seven stop the run. I'm frustrated because at the end of the season, and we see this, I saw it a lot as a player. As soon as you're eliminated from the playoffs, and then all of a sudden you go on a two-game winning streak, and you're seeing guys play free and they're playing better, like they're playing that way because there's no more pressure on them. And that's what angers me. Why don't you play like that when there is pressure? Now, of course, obviously pressure changes things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hate about it. Hey, you put together a good performance, but it doesn't matter because you're already out of the playoffs.
Yeah, you talk about running more zone. Kirby Joseph's been gone since before Halloween. You know, Brian Branch has been gone for weeks. Why are we just now seeing them more aggressively sprinkling in zone? Because it did put the other team on their heels. It did slow down the processing for Caleb. It led to some three and outs, and it helped this team win a game on the road against a playoff team, something they didn't do enough of this season. So, yeah, I mean, look, if it made you feel good, I'm happy it made you feel good. Sports are supposed to be fun. John, this will get lost in translation. I just won't see eye to eye with some people. I won't see eye to eye with you on this. I wanted them to lose that game. Now, I'm not mad they won, and I like that the competitive fire is still there, but John, like...
So I understand your take on it. I'll never agree with
it. I know,
it's
like oil and water.
Yeah.
I just look at it like this. Winning that game might make you feel good today, but it hurt their draft position 3 to 4 slots. And that's significant, picking in the top half of the first round versus the bottom half of the first round. Brad Holmes did very well early in his tenure, picking earlier in rounds. Not so much the last couple drafts.
Earlier than he has been picking.
I know, but give him a boost. His last couple drafts have left a lot to be desired. Give him a boost. That's tangible. That's real. I don't think Dan Campbell's football teams, if they lost this game, were no longer going to be competitive football teams. I don't think they proved how tough and gritty they are yesterday and reestablished their identity. They have to do that in 26. And I was rooting for the 2026 Lions. I wanted them to lose. No, I'm not mad they won. This isn't going to turn into a bitch fest. I would have preferred they would have lost for a couple draft spots. But whatever. Really, I feel more empty or hollow than I do angry or happy that they won.
You know, it's funny, too, because watching that game, I knew at some point today you were going to say those words.
Yeah.
And it angered me yesterday, knowing that I was going to have to come back and sit here and listen to you say that. And I know that there's fans that agree with you. I get it. I just can never support it.
Yeah, like I look at you, and I'm thinking that's such a simple-minded way of looking at it. Winning better than losing. But in this case, winning actually hurts their future.
Oh, see, that's where we differ.
Yeah.
Because whether you're picking 12 or 13 or you're picking 17 where they are right now, like, hey, go out there and make the best pick. And you may get the same guy. If you were picking at 13 and you're going to take an offensive lineman, he may be that same guy will be there at 17.
I hope so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and that's where we don't know. So what we do know is that they don't have as much draft capital to move up if they wanted to move up.
And the other thing, it became a moot point because the Vikings beat the Packers. But there was a world where if the Lions won, they wouldn't get the last play schedule. And there's a benefit to a last place schedule. Now, that was secured either way before they even kicked off. So
yeah.
That didn't really matter.
Those are all next year problems.
Yeah, but I'm on to next year. Yeah. This year couldn't be salvaged. You know, like as a problem solver, you go, well, yeah. I can't solve the problems of 2025. This season is effectively over and then officially over after the game. I'm worrying about the 2026 Lions. I like that they have a boost of a last place schedule. I think it helps everybody. I wish they didn't need the boost this year, but they clearly need the boost. Attack the offseason and take advantage of that last play schedule next season. Yeah. I was on to next year.
I don't know how to best describe it. It was a sour win.
I get what you mean by that, though. I think that works.
Because normally, everyone's going to sit there and say, hey, Lions won. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a sour win because there are going to be a lot of people with your view that they hurt their draft stock. Whereas there's going to be a lot of people like me who say, hey, they played a game, they won. Winning is always good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where people are at on this today. 248-539-9797. Let's start on the phones. I know I got a bunch of texts that have come in. Tom's got some of your best thoughts. Let's go to Jimmy in Birmingham. You're on 97.1.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, Happy New Year.
So here's what I was thinking as I was watching this game. Like, the whatever good feeling you might have about them winning, that's fine. If they if the Bears hadn't been playing their starters, you got to admit that would feel different, right? I mean, John specifically. So because they were, I also felt like they weren't playing at full speed. I felt like the Bears were kind of just holding back. And, you know, because of that, it makes the win feel even worse. It would feel way worse if they weren't playing their starters and we won. Like, it wouldn't feel good at all. But the fact that it felt like they weren't going at full speed, and John, I'd love your input on this because that was your world, but did it feel at all to you guys that the Bears were just, you know, kind of mailing it in a little bit and didn't really put all of their effort into the game? Because that's what it felt like for me.
I felt more like the Lions were executing and playing without pressure. So they were doing what they needed to do to win games. Like, if they had done that against Pittsburgh or if they had done that against Minnesota, they would have won those games more so than I felt like, because the Bears were playing their starters. They still had something to play for.
They did.
And so I don't necessarily buy into that it wasn't their best game or their best effort.
No, I don't think they played slow or tepid or didn't try. That's who the Bears are. Guys, I don't know if you've really watched them this season. Their defense isn't very good. They've lived on turnovers. They're plus 22, I think, in turnovers on the season. Ridiculous. They forced 30-plus turnovers this season. They're not a great football team. They have 6 wins this year where they were trailing in the final 2 minutes. That's just who they are. They're not a juggernaut. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what makes it maybe that much more frustrating that that team won this division.
Well, and there's flaws in every team. And one of the flaws that the Bears have is that they don't start games off well. They get behind.
Yeah.
One of their positives is that they are able to come back in fourth quarters, which we saw all of that yesterday.
Hey, you get credit for finishing. They did a lot this season. They won enough games to win the division. We'll get more of your feedback. 248-539-9797. Overreact Gyms coming up at 7:02. It's 97.1.
Hey, Planet Fitness, we've been talking about them for a long time. And you know, their slogan, we're all strong on this planet. What does that mean? It means, hey, whether you are new to fitness, maybe you go a couple of times a week, or you're a fitness expert, they welcome everyone. And everyone has a different reason for working out. I've shared some of mine. I want to be able to play with my kids. My kids range from 4 years old to 20 years old. There's things I want to do with the older kids. I need to make sure that I'm in good shape to be able to do it. There's things that Teddy does. I want to make sure I'm able to do it with him. And here's the other thing. They're open. A lot of them are open 24 hours. We have a weird schedule here. I want to make sure that I can get to the gym before I come into work. And I can only do that at a place that's open 24 hours because of our work schedule. So it's all right there. $15 a month gets you in the door. You want more? You got Black Card membership, access to everything that Planet Fitness has. Find your nearest club and join today. In club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. Planet Fitness.
Dan Miller on the call. Lions season done. More of your feedback. 248-539-9797. Tech says, I wanted them to lose, so of course they won. Mark says, my feeling after that game, go Wings and go Pistons.
Yeah, big game tonight for the Pistons.
Knicks in town.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Basketball season finally starts, right?
Mm-hmm. Unofficially. If you'd been waiting, you got a first place team playing the number 2 team in the East tonight, Little Caesars Arena.
And just happy because there's no Monday night football that we have something to fill that void.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time to tap into the NBA. And if you're going, I hate the NBA, watch the Pistons.
Yeah. Well, it's a good time to tap into basketball in general, whether it's NBA or it's Michigan State. Yeah.
But I'm talking to the guy who hates the NBA. I'm not telling you to go watch the Atlanta Hawks. I'm not telling you got to make time to watch LeBron and the Lakers. Watch the Pistons. They're good. Mm-hmm. They play defense. You'll like it. Another text. Love the win. Going to enjoy it for 24 hours, then focus on the draft and next steps. Two things can be true. I'm happy they won, and I'm disappointed with the season. I'm never mad about beating a division rival.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're all disappointed in the season. The season was a failure. Yeah.
Lions win left me empty and wanting more. The bar was set when they made the NFC title game. It stays Super Bowl or bust for me. Diana in Clinton Township.
Agree.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, winning that game didn't really do it for me. You know, like, it felt hollow. Like, I didn't watch that game on the edge of my seat like it could have been, right? If they had handled their business, that's a showdown in Chicago, week 18 for a playoff spot, maybe a divisional spot. Once all the meaning was sucked out of the game, winning didn't really do it for me.
Oh, it's just frustrating. You look back on the season, and this is why I say, hey, it's, you know, every game matters. And, you know, there's a loss at the beginning of the season. You're like, we got time to make up for it. When you play the schedule, you add them all up at the end, and you see how your record matches up against everyone else, and losing to Minnesota at home. Mm-hmm. That's the one that irks me probably the most, because you win that one, and now all of a sudden you are playing for a shot at the playoffs. If you beat both of them, then you're playing for a spot of, you know, to win the division.
Right, the home playoff game. And three straight division titles, what could have been. Tech says, don't let Campbell off the hook on the third and one trick play. The David Montgomery pass that they called on short yardage, I don't understand it.
There were some bad words used in the Jansen house. Some very bad words.
Costa, you're crazy for saying the win only makes us feel good for a day. This win gives me hope the team is still bought in. They don't seem like they have the same grit for much of the season, and I was worried that Dan's message was wearing thin. It makes me hopeful, and I truly believe they can carry momentum into next season. Windows not closed, Jared and Jackson.
All right, so a topic that we'll do later in the week, window still open or has it closed. They're going to have to do business differently, but I don't believe that momentum carries over from one year to another. There's going to be so many changes around the NFL, not just here in Detroit.
Well, that's why whatever you thought about the window being closed or not closed, it didn't change based on what the Lions did yesterday. It's going to change based on what the Lions do in the offseason and how they attack this. I do think getting a fourth place schedule is going to be a little boost for them next season. I would have liked to see them move up another three or four spots in the draft as yet another boost.
Yeah.
Because again, the win didn't do anything for me, so that's how I felt.
Yeah. I mean, they do have that opportunity. We saw the Bears go worst to first.
Yep.
And
somebody does every year. Patriots did it too.
Yeah, I think this is an opportunity for the Lions to go worst to first. And I don't think it's not like the Bears leap that they took this year.
No. You're not going from...
Yeah, what were they, a six-win team a year ago?
They're a bottom feeder.
Yeah.
And so were the Patriots. The Lions are going from a... Can the Lions improve on a nine-win season to make the playoffs next year?
And win the division.
Well, yeah. And now think about it. Again, I gave you some of the teams they're going to play. Jets, Giants, Titans, Cardinals, Dolphins, Saints, Falcons. It's a much lighter schedule. And I know it could only be the difference in one win or two wins, but that's the difference in this team still playing football right now.
And what did we say at the beginning of the year? Nobody was predicting that they were going to be a 15-win team. No. And then when Frank, you know, retired, we all kind of readjusted and lowered our win percentage. But we all said 11 wins probably wins you the division. And it would have.
Lo and behold, yeah, there you are. 248-539-9797. And when I bring up the schedule and a last place schedule and the benefits and other teams it's helped and how it could help Detroit, I don't mean that to give them a pass for this offseason. It will mean nothing if they run back the same line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They may win a couple more games, but it won't lead to them achieving anything significant. They need to make sure that they secure the lines of scrimmage, regardless of a last place schedule. John, how do you feel about this one? Guys, if we're talking about the Lions in the offseason, should they go get a new D coordinator? Raheem Morris was just fired. Todd Bowles could be fired as well. That's from Mike.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be options for Dan to look at and say, what is there a chance to upgrade at that position? What is the what's his evaluation of what Calvin Shepard did this year, and what does he project him to be over the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's tough because I think there's promise, you know? I mean, we've talked to the guy, and on a human level, you don't want to see him lose his job, and he may have a long career as a defensive coach, but the Lions aren't in a position where they should be developing coaches. They're trying to win a Super Bowl. So you have to take the human friend element out of it if you're Dan Campbell, and you have to make the best decision for this football team. If you can hire a proven defensive coach, that's an upgrade.
It is.
And Bowles comes from the Parcells tree. Mm-hmm. So I know there's some, got to be some connection somewhere with Dan if he becomes available.
Sure. Are there going to be other coaches that are available that would be better? Yeah. Now it's going to be up to Dan and Calvin Shepard too, because I don't know that there would be a spot for him to say, you know, hey, we want to bring somebody else in to call the defense. We'd like you to go back to linebacker coach.
Yeah, most guys don't.
Most guys aren't able to handle that.
And at the same time,
nor
though,
should they.
I understand that. At the same time, Calvin Shepard wouldn't get a DC job this offseason.
No,
he'd
no.
likely go coach linebackers
somewhere
anyway.
Else.
Yeah, 248-539-9797. A lot of meat on the bone this offseason.
There is. And when you start thinking about what the possibilities are and what this team could be, the thing that, we asked the question, that Lynn, fill in the blank, that win left you feeling blank. I'll go back to some of the things that those texters mentioned. Hey, yeah, it gives you momentum, feeling like this team didn't, you know, completely give up on the season. Part of why they did that was there was no pressure on them yesterday. All the pressure was on the Bears. The Bears didn't handle it well, just like you didn't handle it well against Minnesota or against Pittsburgh.
Brosmer.
Yeah, Max. Max Brosmer.
They had, what, 7 yards passing net as a team?
I think it was 3.
3.
Yeah.
Three. Sorry, they had -7 until the end, and then, yes, they got it up to a whole whopping 3 passing yards. Brutal. All right, we got Overreact Gyms to start the next hour. TJ Lang will join us for the final hour on today's show. But the Overreact Gyms will focus on some of the big college football playoff storylines and the NFL regular season wrap-up. It's 97.1.